Willy Adames has signed with the Giants today, so what holes are left in San Fran? Well, let's get into it.
Adames, deep left center. And the Brewers are
going to deep. Deep.
Adames balls it on the left. He left center.
And Adames.
He is watching. This one is back.
Fly ball to left. Get going, baseball.
Welcome to the Touching Base Podcast. If you're new here, subscribe because baseball is the best. And then comment below your thoughts at the end of this video on just what you think San Francisco should do. Was this a good move? Not to mention, every comment that you leave between the last video today and anything moving forward up to Friday will enter you into a giveaway. And I'll be announcing what I'm going to be giving away probably tomorrow. Anywho, Willy is headed to San Francisco. I mean, on a 7-year deal worth $182 million. Now, per Mark Feinsand, he put out an interesting kind of like a nugget out there, but like Adames' $182 million contract is a new record for the Giants. Like, the last person who made not even as much, but the largest contract behind him was Buster Posey at $167 million. Ironically, he's the one that just signed Willy Adames. So, saying goodbye to his own records just by signing this guy onto the team. This is huge. Aside from the 24 world champs making a big splash, slaying, you know, Blake Snell and then extending Tommy Edman, and now they're talking about continuing their time with Teoscar Hernandez and God knows who else they're going to be in on. The Giants are the only ones in the NL West to make a big splash. And after, I mean, kind of a disappointing season when it comes to second base, rotating a bunch of people, including Tyler Fitzgerald, who actually was really good, and then having Estrada over there at second base for most of the time and having an absolutely completely and utterly disappointing season, only putting up a .217 batting average with 76 strikeouts, slugging only .343, and his OPS was a .590. His WAR was literally a negative .61. So Estrada is kind of, I think, on the chopping blocks as far as going away. Because guess who can take over at second? Fitzgerald, who did amazing. Fitzgerald last year put up a slashing of .280, .334, and .497. Now, don't get me wrong, that was probably half the amount of plate appearances as everybody else on the team as he joined, and he had an amazing month where he just went ape shit and just hit the crap out of the ball. He was looking to be the Jackson Holiday that everybody was hoping he would be, but never seemed to show up. He had 341 plate appearances, while almost everybody else on the list, except for Younghoe Lee, who got injured, had about 400, almost up to a little over 688 plate appearances. So he didn't get the biggest, sample size from him, but I think he would be a very viable option over at second base instead of trying to sign somebody else. And there's no reason to put him on the bench, and there's no reason to put him anywhere else in the field because everything's covered. You extended Matt Chapman, who's going to be great at third base. And yeah, we'll get into it. What matters is that Adames is exactly what the Giants needed. And lucky for them, they have the budget. So let's look at this roster again a little bit. So like I said, Matt Chapman, he just got extended. He batted .247, .328, and .463 for his slugging. He had 27 home runs and 15 stolen bases. He did pretty well last season, and he wasn't exactly all that everybody was talking about. But with the injuries and with them trying to figure out the middle infield, this looks like they've solved their issue, especially since, like I said, Tyler Fitzgerald can just slide right over. Willy Adames being at shortstop is huge. Really, I think the big question here is, can Willy Adames continue his offense that he had in Milwaukee and bring that to San Francisco? The answer is probably. Looking at the stat hit numbers over at Oracle Park, Willie has put together 56 at-bats with a batting average of .321, an OBP of .381, slugging .446, and an OPS of .827. He's hit 15 base hits, a double, and 2 home runs with 9 RBIs and a stolen base. This is going all the way back from 2019 to 2024. Now, his OPS being .827 is awesome because guess what? Oracle Park, not exactly the most hitter-friendly ballparks, and I think they messed up when they went and got Soler because they were looking for a big bat for their outfield, and come to know, he can't hit in San Francisco, and that's the reason why he was basically traded away. But Willie, with the proof, with a pretty long history of proof, more than 5 years worth, he can hit in San Francisco, and we all know that he can hit everywhere else in all the other ballparks, at least in the National League side. So This is a huge pickup. He probably is going to be a solid star bat for the Giants moving forward into 2025. Now, at the same time, this doesn't really matter too much. This is more of like a, can he produce in San Francisco without having to change anything? He could just be the normal player that he is and just go out there and do what he does. But at the same time, you just gave him a golden ticket of 7 years at $180+ million, and he is set no matter how he performs. He's locked in. But I think he probably wants to make it to the Hall of Fame, and I think someday he probably could. And I don't think this is a bad stadium for him to be doing that in. Now, I have a couple reasons to think that the Giants aren't done, and first of all, I'm going to start with pitching. They lost Blake Snell, obviously, as he goes to sign with the Dodgers. They weren't going to be able to bring him back, and he was probably going to cost a fortune. Of course, now we know why. They were going to spend money on Willy Adames. Fine with me. I think that's a good trade-off in my book. So looking at their pitching, it's not a bad lineup as far as their rotation goes, but I would be a little bit concerned. You have Logan Webb, who was the only one to put up over 200 innings last year, and he still posted a 3.47 ERA out of 33 games that he started. He walked 50 and had 172 strikeouts. So he's a little bit on, he's pretty on par when it comes to, let's say, Severino, who I did a video on, who had about 160 strikeouts last year. So you're not getting a huge strikeout pitcher from your ace, but you are getting a very effective, not going to give up more than 4 runs a game, kind of shut him down. You probably most likely have a win, and especially with adding the bat like Willy Adames and having Tyler Fitzgerald hopefully perform like he did last year through the whole season, on top of getting Younghoe Lee back in the outfield. Robbie Ray, of course, he only did 7 starts that entire season, and he recorded a 4.70 ERA. Now, this just might be him shaking off the rust to get back in this groove, and I'm assuming during this offseason, he's preparing to do more. We all know that Robbie Ray is a great pitcher. He just needs to find his groove, and like I said, Oracle Park is not a batter's ballpark, so this should work well for him, and being a lefty, it's only going to give him the edge. We just kind of give him a full season to kind of fully adjust. Jordan Hicks is obviously in there. I think he's good and set. He had a 4.10 ERA. He only threw 109 innings pitched, so we'll see how he performs this year. He still has the stuff to throw over 100, so maybe it'll work out. He's going into his 8th season as a pro, so veteran. He still throws hard. Pretty good number 3, but it's the last two that I'd be concerned about. Kyle Harrison, I still think he's going to be an upside. He did pretty decent last season. I mean, he did have a 4.56 ERA out of 124 innings pitched, but his strikeouts were up. 118 strikeouts and only 42 walks. He did give up 125 hits, though. So they are still making contact on him. He has room to develop. He's only 23 years old, and he's only had 1 year in the majors. So Kyle Harrison's probably good, but I think they need to find a new number 5, because it's not going to be Hayden Birdsong. He threw like a 6-point-something ERA, if I'm correct on that. I won't even double check. It's high up there, or maybe it was a high 4s. He needs some more time to develop, but he was thrown in there because they had so many issues in their starting rotation, especially after getting rid of Alex Cobb. So Landon Rope, I don't know how you want to say his name. He did post a 3.5 ERA, but that was only in 4 starts, and that was only 50 innings pitched. Now, 47 strikeouts with 26 walks. That's not a ratio that you really want, but I think they can upgrade here. They have the money. They have the ability, I believe, to go out there and get another star starting pitcher. Whether or not that might be Corbin Burns, even though I will say this over and over again, I think he should go to Boston, or maybe going out and getting Jack Flaherty. I think that'd be an awesome addition to this rotation. He'd probably be their number 3 or number 2. The Giants aren't done. I think they are going to probably add a couple more bullpen guys and also add a starting rotation piece. But there's one thing offensively that would kind of seal the deal to make them probably the number 1 competitor against the Dodgers and the NL West, and that would be getting someone for left field. Grant McCray. I know there's a lot of hype. I know there's a lot of love around this guy, especially with his dad and the history of this player, but 130 plate appearances last year, a decent sample size. He had 5 home runs, 5 stolen bases. Okay, but a 202 average with 238 OBP and slugging 379. Maybe he's best to be on the bench to develop a little bit more and get someone in on a two-year deal for left field. Now, they did let go of Michael Conforto. I mean, I wouldn't say let go, but he's a free agent. Michael Conforto is a free agent. He didn't do that great last season, but he was good all the other seasons before. So whether or not they bring him back, that's still up in the air. He's only 31 years old. He's going to be 32 in 2025. Mark Canha, he's been kind of moving around quite a bit. I don't think they would bring him back, but I do think he's a decent bat. And then you also have Alex Verdugo, who's a free agent, and I think he's probably going to stay with New York. So I'm just kind of going down a lot of these options, maybe even Austin Hayes or Tyler O'Neill. I think Tyler O'Neill will be an amazing add for them, or Connor Joe if he can perform like he did in the beginning of the season. But other than that, I would say probably need to bring back Michael Conforto or maybe sign Austin Hayes or Tyler O'Neill. But I would definitely add a bigger bat for your left field, because you have a lot of options for big bats that can actually hit the ball pretty well, that play in the outfield and are decent defensively as well. This is something that I think they're probably going to look into. That might not be a free agent, that might be a trade, but we'll see what happens. There's a lot of left fielders that are out there that are up for grabs, and I think the Giants have the ability to go out and get him, whoever that may be. Like the video if you made it this far, because I think you've earned it. If you've stayed here, comment down below your guys' thoughts. Do you like Willie Adames showing up in San Francisco, or do you wish that he went to some other team and the Giants picked up somebody else? Maybe a left fielder. Maybe go after Teoscar Hernandez or Tyler O'Neill or any of these other guys, which I seriously do think they have the money and the ability to go after and find somebody else. Or do you think McCray is just so sentimental that they want to only have him in the outfield and they're content? Give me your thoughts down below. Share with your friends, share on X so they can get in on this. Any comment you leave is counted towards an entry. So the more you comment, the more entries you get all throughout the week. I'll be letting you guys know on Friday who wins. NL West is now alive. This is huge. And West Coast is getting dangerous. I'll see you guys all later.